You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com, to listen to past programs and find real estate information. Call me after the program at 452-2428, 452-CHAT.
During the break, I did tell Jaron the secret about the library, and we decided his idea will give you one hint. This might help you decide, figure out what the secret is about the library.
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
I wonder if I could scream like that. I probably have to stand way back from the mic, otherwise we just overload the mic. So there I was down in this basement up on the Riviera, and it was reminiscent of the house I grew up in New York. It was built in 1924. In fact, I still have the wooden spool from the toilet paper roll. It was one of those ceramic inset toilet dispensers that occasionally I see. And once or twice over the years, I've actually seen the wooden spool, original one from 1924. I suppose I should send them a check or something. We gave up the apartment. My mom lived there about 38 years when they moved to Florida. So we gave it up about 10, 15 years ago. But we lived on the third floor. It was a four-story apartment. It was called Westchester Gardens on Gramatin Avenue in Mount Vernon, New York, in an area called Fleetwood. Fleetwood was a little section there. And just 20 miles or so north of Manhattan. You could be in Grand Central Station in 30 minutes on the railroad. You could walk to the railroad. It was about a 10-minute walk, all downhill, and you had to go down three stories to get to Ground Hill. And it was kind of like a giant U-shaped building. And I think the codes back then, as I recall, were that you could build four-story buildings without an elevator. And if you went five stories, you had to put in an elevator. Kind of reminiscent now of what we have with affordable housing. We have John Blankenship, the developer, on. And if you build more than 10 houses, you got to add affordable housing. You build less than 10 houses, you don't have to. So they built this only four stories, but it was wide. This is, I can't remember seeing an apartment that was this wide. It was on a large piece of land. And it was if you imagine the letter U, and on top of the U, you have, you know, a little horizontal lines, and then you just kind of spread that U way out, and that's what it was. And so this center was this giant cavity, if you will, and it was called Westchester Gardens, and they were filled with gardens. But originally, it was the parking lot. And so what was very different about this apartment was that you could, a lot of apartments, you go up to a floor, and you might have, you know, if it's a big apartment building, you could have 10 or 15 apartments, doors, on each floor. Because pretty much apartments would go straight up, and that's fairly common. And this was very different. It had, the floors only had two apartments per floor. They were obviously very tiny floors, so we just had one neighbor. So what you had was a bunch of doors throughout this giant spread out building. I think it was I lived in H-I-J-K-L, probably up to J or K or L, whatever, how many number that is, 12, 13 entrances that were spread all out. And a couple of them had two special entrances. They had three or four per floor, but most were two. So it was very different. You had your own little space, and that was your entrance. I was HC2. C was the third floor, second apartment. So, you had your own little world there with your own little entrance, four floors, eight people total. So you had to go down. Now, if you went down to the basement, you were walking four floors. You go down to the basement, and you walked 150 yards down this tunnel of a basement to get to the laundry room. So mom, raising three kids, doing laundry. Just think about how you walk out to your garage and you don't like it. Wish she had a laundry room. She had to go down four flights, walk 150 yards. Eventually, we got a washing machine in the kitchen. And then she just saved up the load and went down for the dryer. And that was, you know, that was the chores. That was the dreaded chores. Go down there, get your quarters. And didn't have stack washers and dryers back then, I guess. Or we had no way to vent them. I guess you could have used an electric. So, and then, of course, you go down four floors. And you would walk. We were probably 100 yards to get to the car. We were in the back parking lot. The parking lot skirted the back of the building. And you had assigned parking. And so you would go down and walk through and then walk up some flights to get back up to ground level from the basement and get to your car. So it was kept you in shape. She lived there for quite a while. She ended up having hip surgery. She has bad knees and a bad ankle. But I think for the most part, steps kind of keep you in shape. So that was just going up to Santa Barbara, just going up to the house on the Riviera on El Encanto Road. It just kind of brought back all kinds of memories. And to segue from there, a trip down memory lane, I saw an article here about how the 1920s, which when basically these houses were built, my apartment and the house on El Encanto Road, the 1920s jumpstart a new era in home technology. Decade brings electricity and must-have features to the masses. So every so often there's a brief span of years in which innovation comes in fast. And this example is the Roaring Twenties, chock full of new ideas, as quaint as they may seem now, at the time, were the cutting edge. First to integrate, of course, electricity. Prior years you had surface switches, those clumsy surface switches, and external wires and switches were very common. And you still see them today, still some lasting. And some fixtures, basically just the naked light bulb at the end of a cord. So with the 20s, you got push-button switches, which I don't know, I guess they're bringing them back, more flush-mounted and flat. I love the old push-button switches. And you had brass plates and an on button and mother of pearl and all this kind of stuff. It got quite elegant. Occasionally you see that in Santa Barbara, still left over. Electric wall sconces became the lighting fashion back in the 20s. And they moved the electrical outlets, the jerry-rigged affairs screwed into the wall, to the flush-mounted on the baseboard that we're used to seeing today. Granted, back then they probably only had one or two receptacles per room, but obviously you'd be lucky if you had a radio and a floor lamp. That was about it. Another big 1920s unique was an aerial, a built-in aerial that would serve the entertainment mainstay of the day, the console radio. And rather than mounting an ugly mast on the roof, as was later done for television with a radio and the builders of the 20, they actually looped wire through the attic to form a giant hidden antenna. I had never heard of this before. I hope it's true, because you're hearing it. The pass-through mailbox, another little device that came through then, which we still see. In fact, just visited some clients, and they have a giant one, and it comes right in to the house, so it's not limited. Back then, they might have had a little compartment. It wouldn't work for today's huge quantity of mail. The 1920s brought the use of speaker tubes, a low-tech ancestry of the intercoms, and it's kind of probably a combination of what you use in banks to zip your vacuum tubes, but they had upscale apartments, and speaking tubes were just a network of tin pipes. I've never seen that. Each end of the tube had a trumpet-like opening, allowing, barely remember that from all the old movies I love to watch. And of course, then you had central electric refrigeration, the forerunner of today's home refrigerators. In this system, there was a compressor in the basement, which furnished the cooling power for a small refrigerator cabinet in the kitchen for each apartment. Well, that's kind of an upgrade from the California coolers that we still see left over in Santa Barbara that I never heard of until I came here, where you just have venting of vented slotted shelves from the crawl space up all the way through your kitchen cabinet, all the way up into the attic, so the cool air from the crawl space can just kind of naturally rise and vent up. warm air rises, but for some reason the California cooler works. Of course, down in the crawl space, I guess it's not very warm air. It's cooler air. So, but this was something I also didn't know about, a compressor in the basement that was kind of furnishing each kitchen. That's interesting. And what else? And then air conditioning came in, and they initially were found in movie palaces. That was the first place. And it was a big deal. And in those days, the machinery required to air condition a building took up roughly the space of a four-car garage. It was deemed so impressive that at least one theater installed plate glass show windows to let passerby people admire their mechanical wonder from the sidewalk. One innovation that the 20s that never did catch on was the patented radio speaker in the chandelier. And I can see why. Well, anyway, that's my trip down memory lane from my two-bedroom, one-bath apartment, starting with three children and two parents, and then going from there to two children and two parents, and then going to one child and one parent. We just kind of saw our way through for 38 years at Grammond Avenue in Mount Vernon, New York. And it's nice to visit old world charm here in Santa Barbara. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Go to radiorealestate.com, radiorealestate.com, listen to past programs, search MLS listings, and contact me. Or after the program, 452-2428, 452-2428. You stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you have a question for me, 564-1290, 564-1290.